Lord, I thank you for this woman of God who happens to be my wife. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint her, that she will hear your voice and be like a trumpet for you. And that as she speaks your word, Lord, that the word of God will be like a living sword, as it says in Romans somewhere, 4:12, that the word of God is sharp and that it'll cut for the dividing of divided between flesh and bone and spirit. Lord, we want to be changed. Open our hearts and our minds for what you're going to do with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a privilege it is for anyone, any of us, to come and preach. We are free. Is the volume on? Yeah. We are free these days to preach on the word of God that was given to us. What an awesome privilege. And that's what I've been given this morning. Thank you so much. Do you remember Gamaliel? Chris, I believe, mentioned him last Sunday when we looked at Acts 5. Today, I'm looking at 6, but I just want to remind us of Gamaliel's comment to the Sanhedrin, those Jewish elders that gathered often, it seemed. They gathered when anything was going on together to talk about it. And Gamaliel, one of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, did warn his brothers in that Sanhedrin about this new movement of Jesus Christ. In the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourselves fighting against God. And that was the case, wasn't it? Anyone against Peter and his band of disciples and any of those who were preaching God's word did find themselves against God. Let us not be found there. Let us take Gamaliel's warning as well. Let me read Acts 6. If you've got your Bibles, do find those. Switch it on your phone or whatever you do for the word of God. Acts 6. In my Bible, it's entitled, The Choosing of the Seven. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and responsibility over to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these 7 to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to this faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We've heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. I wonder what they saw in the face of Stephen. Why was it put like that in the New Testament? They saw the face of an angel. Do you think that means they saw holiness in him? I think so. I think that's the best other definition that we can use for that. They saw a bit of holiness in Stephen. So we're here again in Acts at a time when the early church was growing. Yes, it was growing. Jesus, of course, by this time had died, but he had risen and had appeared before these disciples and others. He had risen. Absolutely. We today are the people of resurrection. Do you really believe that? Can you say, "Yes, I believe. I am a person of the resurrection"? Hallelujah. You're a great church. You really are a great church to preach in. It's fabulous. We are brothers and sisters. We are people of the resurrection. If you can't say that, if you can't honestly say that, then seek some prayer from some of those who've said yes today. We are people of the resurrection. Jesus was greater than death, even. He was greater than death. He told his disciples about the coming Holy Spirit. Pentecost had happened, and they themselves were all filled with this holy presence, this Holy Spirit. The great news that Jesus was alive again meant for them all that he was greater than death. Now the Holy Spirit would be with them for the rest of their days. For the rest of their days. So they could be fearless in talking about him. Fearless in preaching his name and teaching everywhere where they went as the disciples, as the 12. How wonderful to be fearless. Are we fearless? Sometimes, not always. if we're honest, we have a few fears just, you know, nudging us sometimes. But we are the people of the resurrection, so let us fight the fear in us sometimes, especially the fear of speaking of Jesus. We are the people of the resurrection. Now, they realized that they needed some more leaders. They had to produce some more leaders in their midst because they had some little niggles going on. They were quite a strong group, but the Hellenistic Jews complained against the Hebraic Jews. Oh, there was more than one language going on. Uh-oh. Have you been in a multilingual setting anywhere, any time in your lives? Sean and I went to Hong Kong, where we worked with Jackie Pullinger's organization, and oh my goodness, there were lots of languages going on there. The main language was supposed to be Cantonese, but there were lots of Western helpers there like us, so there was quite a bit of English hanging around. There might have been other languages as well, but those were the two main ones. And it is a difficult time. And yes, there is, obviously, there are going to be times of misunderstanding, not quite getting the people of the other language. So you have to have great grace at that time. And you really had to be gracious towards those who didn't speak your language. And a lot of patience and work hard. We have to work hard at being gracious. We have to work hard at understanding people of a different language. It is a calling for some of us. And consider clearly if you can cope with that calling. Can you go and live with people of another language? It's hard. But Jesus chose that that was what the early church were going to have to deal with. Two different languages going on. So quite a challenge. Be patient and be gracious. Perhaps learn another language. Have a go at learning another language for their sakes. Now we are told that one of these new seven leaders that they chose was Stephen. Their new jobs was going to be to do with the distribution of food, the serving at tables. What a very menial task for seven leaders of the early church. They had to do a fairly menial, manual job. But notice that the requirement was that they were full of the Holy Spirit. What a great condition. What a great condition for a new job. You must be full of the Holy Spirit. If any of us are flagging in our jobs, ask God to fill you again with the Holy Spirit so that you can come that morning, the Monday morning, if you like, to come with the Holy Spirit as your helper, your comforter, maybe, your counselor, your helper. We all need the Holy Spirit, whether we're a mum at home, whether we're going out to an important job, whether we're a carer at home, whether we just do a small sort of job. We need the Holy Spirit. We all do, to represent Jesus, to fill us with His goodness, His graciousness, His love for others. I don't know about you, but when you look at Stephen, he's only in three chapters in the Bible. He's only in Acts 6, 7, and 8. But he was this guy who was able to do amazing wonders and signs. He was very similar in many ways to Jesus. He was filled with Jesus. And there are other similarities, weren't there, between him and Jesus? Sadly, he met a very difficult death quite quickly. Do you ever wonder, I'm sure you do like me, why did Jesus only last till 30-something? Couldn't we have more years of Jesus? Couldn't we have more of his miracles and more of his healings? Isn't that a cry in us? I certainly feel that. It's like an aching inside me. Lord, give us more of Jesus. And yet, he was taken, wasn't he? He was horribly executed at the age of about, 33? We could have had so much more. And I feel that about Stephen. He was no one particularly special. He wasn't like Jesus, going around saying, well, I am the Son of God. He didn't say that, Stephen. He never did. He knew who was the Son of God. He knew he was Jesus. I wonder what miracles Stephen got up to. I wonder what miracles he did. We're not told. We perhaps can presume it was healing. Perhaps. We don't know. But there were people in Jerusalem, we're still in Jerusalem, there were people that were opposed to him. And these guys, have a look in verse 9. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called. Who on earth were they? They were apparently Jews of Cyrene, which was in North Africa, and Alexandria, that's in Egypt, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. Well, they thought they were somebody. They knew they were freedmen. I guess that was a big step up in their status when they were freed. They were slaves, and now they were freedmen. And I guess they felt the importance of that rise up in their status. They together were a bunch of freed men. And they were going to make people know that. They were going to have people know that was their status. Oh, I have. Don't know about you. Somewhere I've definitely had times of jealousy in my life. And what is jealousy? Jealousy is when we've noticed something impressive in someone else and we don't like them because of it. We've gone off them. We don't want them to have that respect or fame or popularity because we actually want that selfishly for ourselves. We like a bit of popularity, don't we? Jealousy. We must kill jealousy in our lives, mustn't we? We must work hard to kill jealousy. Don't let it grow in you. Don't let it dwell in your mind. Be brutal on jealousy. Might be jealousy of another member of our family, a brother or a sister. Might be jealousy of someone else. We must root it out. We must choose to be not a disparager, but an encourager. Don't allow jealousy. Get rid. Get rid. Dislike the criticism, dislike the gossip in yourself. Turn it instead into encouragement. Well, this synagogue of the freedmen had a good go at destroying Stephen. They certainly tried to destroy his reputation. They told tales about Stephen's blasphemy. Somebody who they'd organized came up and said, this fellow never stops speaking about this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. There were dangerous words at those times, weren't they? Because the legalistic Jews, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, they were very much stirred up in their minds and hearts when there was that word blasphemy. It was like lighting a blue touch paper. It's like setting off fireworks. Blasphemy, it was intoxicating to them. And they got very, very stirred up and angry. And of course, we know what anger does. It can be so destructive, not just ourselves, but on others, on those we are jealous of. So let us be very, very careful with jealousy. Kill it. Kill it in ourselves, if you understand my meaning. But their jealousy had been unleashed, and this would prove destructive and murderous towards Stephen. Someone else will be taken on Stephen's speech in Acts 7 and the horrible killing of Stephen, the murdering of Stephen in chapter 8 soon. But what a desperately sad situation. They've lost Jesus. They hadn't learned from that, because soon they were going to get rid of Stephen. Let us be people of the resurrection. Let us be people of the power of Jesus. Let us be people of his freedom that he died to give us. Let us be his people. Full of life, not death, not jealousy, full of his life. Are we handing out life? Are we handing out life to people that we see in our lives, in our ordinary, ordinary work lives, in our ordinary neighborhoods around us? Are we handing out life, or are we handing out something else? Jealousy or death? Awful gossipy rumors. Let's not hand out that rubbish. Let's only hand out life. That's all I've got. I've got something else, actually, Pauline. I just remembered a bit from Smith Wigglesworth. I brought his book. This is a devotional by Smith Wigglesworth. Have you heard of him? I really recommend you look him up if you've never. What a name for starters, Smith Wigglesworth. Wow, what a great name. But he's written this, and I just want to finish by reading out what he had to say about Stephen. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. The Holy Spirit could do mighty things through him because he believed God. And God is with the man who dares to believe his word. All things were possible because of the Holy Spirit's position in Stephen's body. I don't quite understand that phrasing. It was Victorian. He was sort of speaking in the late 1940s, 50s. Because Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, God could fulfill his purposes through him. When a child of God is filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, he prays for us. Such praying is always answered. It is never bare of result. When we are praying in the Holy Spirit, faith is evident. And as a result, the power of God can be manifested in our midst. Okay.
Thank you, Rach. Thanks very much, Rach. It's great. There's a lot of things the Word has brought up this morning. And as I think it's been already said this morning, the Word is living and active. We're not meant to just have it to tickle our ears and say that was interesting. It's meant to change us. Perhaps if the band could come up, ready for a song. And I also think that it's always good to have prayer. There's a lot of things that have come up this morning.